This is study number 29 in our camp meeting in Australia, Tananda, 1992. So in our last studies that we have together, we wanted to consider something about the health message. Now when we speak about the health message, many people have the imaginations, aha, now we hear something about what is good food and what is bad food, about how to dress, and things like this. Now, this message is not like this. I must warn you of it. And whoever expects this, he will be disappointed. But I think most of you know enough already, or have heard enough already to know that this will not be presented. Even though, I must say, and this we will see later more clearly in our study, that the laws of nature are important parts of the health message, but they don't play the dominant part. Let us now, first of all, see very clearly that the message on health and the message on the spiritual restoration of the soul is exactly the same. It's identical. It is the gospel, exactly. For this purpose, we will open Minister of Healing and read a few statements together. First of all, the first statement that we find in the book altogether. It's in the first chapter, our example, page 17. By the way, the book Minister of Healing is the guideline for the health message. That is, you could say, the study book of it. Page 17 we read, our Lord Jesus came to this world as the unwearied servant of man's necessity. Unwearied servant of the man's necessity. That was what gave the proof of his divinity, wasn't it? He took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses that he might minister to every need of humanity. The burden of disease and wretchedness and sin he came to remove. It was his mission to bring to men complete restoration. He came to give them health and peace and perfection of character. Varied were the circumstances and needs of those who besought his aid, and none would come to him, none who came to him went away unhelped. From him flowed a stream of healing power, and in body, mind, and soul, men were made whole. So, as what did Jesus come? That's right. And the necessities of men can be described in three areas. They are, as it says here, the mind, the body, the mind, and soul. Exactly. Body, mind, and soul. What were the problems of people in the body?
Disease.
Of course, disease. Were spells pressing? What were the problem of the people in the mind?
Unrest.
Unrest. They were also possessed by devils and things like this, weren't they? But the general word is unrest. What was the problem of the people in the soul?
Sin.
Sin. Very clear. That was how Jesus found the people, full of disease, full of unrest, and full of sin. And he came to help the people in that respect. What did he give them instead of sin? Of course, he took away the sin and gave them instead righteousness. Now that part of the message we know very well, that Jesus has come to this earth to take away sin and to give righteousness instead. That is well known. But what is very little known is that Jesus, well, it is known, but very little realized, that Jesus did the same work with the same methods in that area too. What did he give them instead of unrest?
Peace.
And what did he give them instead of disease?
Health.
Health. Now, it is very interesting that Jesus did not concentrate himself on freeing the people only from sin and leave the work of healing from disease to another profession, the medical profession, so to speak. So in other words, he was the preacher and the others, the medical people. He was one person, and in one person was united both. And Jesus is the example. Let us now, as it says here in this chapter, our example. So that means that the work for the body and the work for the soul really belong together. They have to be unified. And let us now turn to another chapter, We find this also in Ministry of Healing. What was this again? It's about with no, not with nature and with God. It's about the physician, the co-working of the divine and the human, page 111. And here Sister White says something about the physician. In the ministry of healing, the physician is to be a co-worker with Christ. The Savior ministered to both the soul and the body. The gospel which he taught was a message of spiritual life and physical restoration. Deliverance from sin and the healing of disease were linked together. That's right. Deliverance from sin and healing of diseases were linked together. They were one ministry. When I was a little boy and I was looking forward, what will I become? I was thinking of two possibilities, become a minister or become a doctor. And the older I grew, the more determined I was not to become a minister, but rather to become a doctor, a physician I mean, because I thought he does more practical work, the minister he does more theoretical work, and I like more the practical part of it. And so it came that I actually began to study medicine. But the understanding today is very different from what we had back there and what I was taught. And that is that not the one is practical work, the other is theoretical work. Both works are very practical and they belong together. Whenever Jesus healed from disease, he also healed from righteousness, from sin, I mean. Whenever Jesus healed from sin, he also healed the body. Now, of course, it is possible that a person rejects the ministry in one part. It was possible that some people would accept Jesus or welcome Jesus as the healer of their body, but not of their soul. Then Jesus could not do everything for them, at least not for the moment. But the healings of their body was a mighty testimony for them for what purpose Jesus had come to this world. But about this we will consider more later. Let's first establish the point, really, that the gospel which Jesus taught was the message of spiritual life and of physical restoration. It does not talk of two messages. It does not say the gospels which he taught was a message of spiritual life and physical restoration, but the gospel. Deliverance from sin and the healing of disease were linked together. The same ministry is committed to the Christian physician. He is to unite with Christ in relieving both the physical and the spiritual needs of his fellow men. He is to be the sick, to be to the sick a messenger of mercy, bringing to them a remedy for the diseased body and the sin-sick soul. Christ is the true head of the medical profession. Before we read on now, let us really understand and see very clearly that the medical field is a very sensitive area. It is this because it is linked together with the spiritual. Now, you may say, well, the medical field is a profession like any other else. For example, if I'm a carpenter, I'm doing carpentry work and I don't necessarily have to be a believer of the message in order to be a skilled carpenter, do I? There are skilled carpenters in the world who make very good furniture and they don't know the message. They have maybe very funny ideas, pantheistic ideas or things like this, yet they make good furniture. And I would say there's no problem in this. I would still buy furniture from them, even if they don't believe in God. If the Lord, of course, would arrange everything, I would not hesitate to do this. But in the medical field, we cannot put the same measure as we would in the other fields, like carpentry or things like this. Why is this? Because according to the work of God, the medical field and the gospel and the spiritual field of the soul, they are linked together. They are one.
Yeah.
Now, you may ask, you may wonder why. Why is this so? Isn't the medical profession just a job? If somebody gets a broken bone, okay, we operate him, we put everything together, stitch it, you must be very skilled for this. And you must know the body and be very skilled in that area. It would be so if the Lord would not have designed that the medical field would be very close together with the spiritual field, that these two were linked together. If the Lord had not designed it, I would say it doesn't matter really who stitches up my body and how it happens. But since these two things are linked together, you cannot leave the one in the hands of the world and leave the others in the hand of God. In other words, trust your body to the worldly people and trust your soul to God. If you would do this, you would not give the right message to the world in this time, to say the least. And to say even more, I would say once you give your body in worldly hands, it is you are almost lost. Not only with your body, but also with your soul. And I say this from experience. I've actually worked in hospitals, and I tell you honestly, I have absolutely no trust in the medical profession today. I acknowledge them to be able in certain areas, but I would not like to come in a hospital to be at the mercy of the doctors there. I won't tell you much more. The rest I leave for you to think about. But that is not the real reason why I'm saying this. The real reason is that we give a wrong impression, we give a wrong message to the people if we would split these two works up. If we would give our bodies to the world and give our soul to God, we would really not do what the Lord wants. Now, why has the Lord linked these two things up? Why has He done this? After all, is the body so important? Isn't the body just a medium that lives for a while and then it falls apart after so and so many years? And if it falls apart a few years earlier, does it matter so much? Now, it is not the body we are concerned in so much, but we must consider two things. First of all, the body is the carrier of the spiritual life. And a part of the body is the mind, which is also very important, must be kept clear. Many people are often wondering why we are vegetarians. Now, the reason is not so much that we have scruples of killing animals, even though that is a reason too. But that is not the predominant reason. The predominant reason is really we want to keep our minds as clear as possible so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the reason why we live healthy. That is the reason why we keep our body in shape, so that our mind is able to grasp spiritual truths and that the Holy Spirit can dwell in there. That is the very point that Paul makes. He says, don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? You know that statement, do you? Maybe we should read it quickly. Yeah, that is an illustration, but here we have an actual temple. Let me quickly look where it is. That is 1 Corinthians 3. And there we begin in verse 16 maybe. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now we know what great respect the Israelites were supposed to pay to the earthly tabernacle. If a person went into that place who was not really consecrated to God, if he was sinful, then that even could cost him his life. Now was there any special with the material with which the temple was built? No, it was perishable material, as all the other materials that the houses were made with, where the Israelites dwelt with. I mean the tents in the wilderness. It was cloth. And okay, inside there was some gold, but even gold is perishable, isn't it? It is nothing special. It's all earthly perishable material. So why were they then supposed to pay such close attention and give such respect to that building? If it were... Exactly. Because of that person that dwelt in that temple. That made the vessel holy. That made the temple holy. And likewise, here we have the burning bush again, that's right. And likewise, because God dwells in us, therefore the message for the body must be the same. Therefore it must be to link together with the message of the soul. If we would have an unhealthy body, if we would neglect that part, certainly then we would dishonor the one who dwells in there. That is one reason. Now another reason that I would like to point out to you, and it's very important too, is that God designed that the body is an object lesson for the soul. Mm-hmm. That means, exactly in the same way that the body is healed, the soul will be healed. If I go to the world with my body, then I thereby give or declare that the Lord has no power really to save from sin, that I must go to the psychiatrists for my soul and for the mind, you see? In other words, if I go to the world with my body, then I can also go to the world with my soul, because that is the object for this, object lesson for this. So, if I trust my body to the world, then I must trust my soul also to the psychologist. And you know what this means, do you? I just want to relate one experience to you. Socialists and psychologists, they're all very much together. There was a brother in America. He was not very long in the message, so he was very inexperienced. And he had some difficulties with his children, and he thought he can go to the sociologist to ask them for counsel. So a woman came by, a sociologist came by and investigated the case, and she asked a lot of questions. And you know what result she came up? That the parents were child abusers. And she's a teacher in school. And I can honestly tell you, he's not a child abuser, not at all. He loves his children and he deals very nicely with them. If he was, then he would see this. And the children trust him too. So I don't know why this woman came on this result, but that is how people think in the world today, isn't it? And that is where you end when you trust your soul to these people. You end in a prison, literally. Now, I don't say that all are the same. There are some who may be a little bit more sensible than others, but still, that is the way of the world. The way of the world is something yet that you cannot trust. Who would like to trust himself to a psychologist? It would be horrible. Along the thought, wouldn't it?
How basic philosophy that they have is the need of pride and self-esteem.
That is right.
They become a person. Certainly, they have a whole person.
Exactly. It is linked with spiritualism and all these kind of things. Very true. And I'm pretty sure that Satan had his hand in the case of our brother there, and he thoroughly repented of his mistake after he saw what he had made. Now, of course, it is very late. Once the state is involved, then it's very difficult to get out of it again. Now, but again, let me not dwell too much on the mistakes of the world. I want rather to say, principally, if we go to the world, we are going to a different source than to God. And we do not go with our sins to the world, neither shall we go with our bodies to the world. Both is taken care of by God. He has promised to be our doctor. And that is exactly what he says. Let us read about this in Exodus chapter 15. Verse 26. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. That was the incident where Israel were coming to Marah and Elim, you know, the bitter waters. And then God, through Moses, told them to throw in a tree, and then the water became sweet. And in that connection, the Lord said, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, another translation says, for I am the Lord your physician. And that is, I would say, the better translation in this connection. God really promises to be our physician. Now, when he is our physician, then we can come to him when we are sick. Naturally, of course, we have to go to the physician. Many people make the mistake that when they hear the message on God is my doctor, they say, okay, I don't go to a doctor. And when they become sick, they test out this, they test out that, and test out the other. In other words, to become experimenters of their own bodies. Now that is that is punishable, I would say. You will be punished by your own actions if you do this, because we do not have the wisdom to understand our body. Even a worldly physician would understand more of the laws very often than a person, the average person, understands. And if a person begins to experiment with his own body, he certainly will reap results. Now, what we are saying is not stay away from doctors and experiment with yourself. What we emphasize is go to the doctor, but to the right one. And the right doctor is? That is right. I am your physician, he says. Again, let us turn to page 111 and now follow this step by step. In the ministry of healing, the physician is to be a co-worker with Christ. The Savior ministered to both the soul and the body. The gospel which he taught was a message of spiritual life and physical restoration. Deliverance from sin and healing of disease were linked together. The same ministry is committed to the Christian physician. He is to unite with Christ in relieving both the physical and spiritual needs of his fellow men. He is to be to the sick a messenger of mercy, bringing to them a remedy for the diseased body and the sin-sick soul. Again, we could ask the question, why is the minister of God or the physician not just commissioned to deliver the people from their sin? Wouldn't this be enough? After all, again, I want to emphasize, the body is only living for a few years on this earth. Yes, but we do not receive an immortal body, regardless how much faith we have. We do not receive an immortal body. This we will receive only at translation. Yeah? Yeah. Okay, that is one aspect. The body can be a source for great temptations to sin. Yeah? That is a very good aspect to which we want to come back later. Now, have you ever heard of that statement which says that the medical work is the right arm of the spiritual work? Yeah?
But also says that if our body is not in peak of health, get the word she used, to do with our nerves and our electrical system in our mind, we're so untuned, out of tune, that we won't be able to receive.
Good. This is the point. Yes?
John? The purpose of this statement is not a medical.
Thank you. Okay. So, the medical missionary work is the right arm of the spiritual work. I don't have it in word with me. I even do not know at the moment where it is. There are several statements that talk of this, and I will look it up for you in the next session and print it out. So, the medical missionary work is the right arm of the spiritual work. Again, that is not word by word. It is only in the meaning. Now, let us look at the right arm. That work is the right arm, or that both works, we should say, is the right arm of this. Now, the right arm must not be made the body. That is an important thing. The right arm is not the center, but it is only a helper, isn't it? We say the dog waves with the tail in German. That would happen if the medical missionary work would become the center. And there has been a danger in the Adventist work in the past that the medical work became the center. It became stronger and stronger. And so Sister White gave some statements that it is not the center, but the spiritual work. And I think we all understand that the healing of the soul is of more consequence than the healing of the body. There have been instances where people have not received physical healing. Like Elisha, for example, he died of a disease. You know that. But he was healed, certainly, from sin. We have Job. We have also John the Baptist, who was not sick, but he died also in the dungeon. So we have instances where the body of persons perished, but their soul was in perfect tune with God. Now, on the other hand, if the soul is not in tune with God, the person is never saved. He will never have eternal life. So that is the important point, the center. But an arm is important. What would you do without arms? Very difficult, wouldn't it? Without arms, we could hardly go into the door. We couldn't, actually. We couldn't open the handle, could we? Especially if it's a knot. We would be dependent on others to do it for us. We couldn't write. We couldn't type. We couldn't eat. There were many things we couldn't do with our arms. Arms are very essential. And so likewise, the true medical missionary work is essential. Mainly the purpose of the arm is to open doors. And so the purpose of the true medical missionary work is to open a door. Now in what way is a door to be opened? Often it has been understood like this. A doctor goes first of all in an area, and there he teaches and heals the people. And then when the people began to have trust in him, then he comes out and says, and you must also keep the Sabbath, you know, and you must do this and that and that. That is how it was understood, the door opener. First, let the people have trust when you heal their body, and then when they have trust, you can give them the harder pill, which is the doctrines. But I think we know very well that this was not the method of Jesus. He was not working like this. For what purpose did Jesus heal the bodies of the soul?
As an illustration.
Exactly. Always as an illustration of healing the soul. And nowhere is this clearer as in the healing of the paralytic who was let down the roof. He was let down the roof and he was laying there. And then he said, my son, your sins are forgiven thee. And this man was absolutely happy. He didn't wish more. And then the other people murmured, what is he doing? He's blaspheming God. And then what did Jesus say? Let's read about this in Desire of Ages. In Thou Canst Make Me Clean, that is the chapter, page 268, where it says, first of all, the paralytic was trying to come in Christ's presence, and the friends tried to bring him there, but he was surrounded by the Pharisees and the spies and all these kind of people, and there was such a close ring about him that he just couldn't get there. So they came on the idea to let him down the roof, which they did, and suddenly this man came from top down there to Jesus. And then Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And it says here on page 268, now in words that fell like music on the sufferer's ear, the Savior said, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Like music. Now that was something. Most people, they are not happy before their disease is not away. They're not concerned about their spirit, but more about their body. I must really say I can feel with this man. I've been very sick in the beginning of this year. And when I was, I felt exactly like this man. I thought, the forgiveness of my sin, that is all that matters. I'd rather stay with my pains and everything if only I have peace in my mind, and I received peace of my mind, and I was so happy that the pain was not as worse as it was before. I could endure it much better. The peace of mind was a mighty factor for me. And so I can understand this man. It was like music on his ear and peace filled his soul. As it says, the burden of despair rolls from the sick man's soul, the peace of forgiveness rests upon his spirit and shines out upon his countenance. His physical pain is gone and his whole being is transformed. The helpless paralytic is healed, the guilty sinner is pardoned. Now, Jesus answered the quaveling Pharisees by saying, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? And now listen to this sentence, and that is the key sentence of the work of Jesus. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said, turning to the paralytic, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. Again, let's emphasize this point. But that ye may know. that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sin. For what purpose did Jesus heal this man? That you are knowing that the Son of God has power to forgive sins. And nowhere is this clearer demonstrated physically than in the healing of the body. Now that is the place that God has designed to the true medical missionary work. A door opener, an illustrator for the healing of the soul from sin. Now we have approached the subject from a different angle altogether. I think everybody of us who are sitting here, we have first learned the message that delivers from sin. And we have made our experiences of deliverance from sin. And now we are looking how we make our experiences from deliverance from sickness in the same way. But actually, when the Lord cry is going on here, the work will be as in the times of Jesus again. Then the true medical missionary work will get its proper place. It doesn't have its proper place at the moment, really. Maybe it has, or it begins to have, but it did not have in the past, because we were concerned only with the healing of the soul, which is the center of the work, true, but we didn't have an outdoor opener for that work. In other words, there was no illustration, no real illustration of how that works. But the people in the world, they need that illustration. They need to see in the body how the deliverance from sin works. And as they see this, they will be converted to the truth. And thus, the true medical missionary message, or the true medical missionary work, is a mighty door opener. A very mighty door opener. Now, do you see, if we would trust ourselves to the world, that this would not be a door opener at all? In other words, if a sick person comes to us, then we would say, go to the doctor. When you want to have healing from your sin, stay with us. But if you want healing from your physical disease, go to the doctor. Then we would never open the doors. He would trust himself to the doctor as the one who really does the work, and to us more as a person who speaks some nice words of comfort. And that is the picture I always had as a child and a young person. The picture, the minister, he just comforts the people a little bit, but the doctor, he does the real work. He does something that has effect. But, you know, when the true medical missionary work is taking hold of God's people, then it is a mighty door opener, and it will be seen that these two works are linked together. In other words, this is not a theoretical work, it's as real as the healing from disease. And isn't that something that was emphasized from the beginning in this movement? That the sin is something real. It is not only a guilt, something that is made up because of a law, but it is a real power that puts men into ruin, finally. Not only because there is a law, but because sin itself is a destroyer. That is a point that we understood from the beginning. Therefore, the deliverance from sin is not just speaking nice words to a person. It is an act of creation where something is really taken out, like with an operation, we just take a stone out of the kidney or whatever. You really take it out. Only it's not a physical, actual event, but it's a spiritual, actual event. And the physical illustrates the spiritual. Therefore, let us make sure that in this work we apply the gospel and nothing but the gospel. And then we will have a true door opener for the gospel that heals from sin. Now, in this connection, we can now begin to contemplate about the work, how we received healing from our sin, and then we will see what the procedures are to receive healing from sickness. Because since it is the same gospel, the procedures must also be the same. Now the first...
That's a little bit of repetition now, but you will soon understand when we repeat this. The first work in the healing of the
soul from sin, what is it?
Okay.
The eradication of the sin master, it is the rebirth experience.
Now, before we come to the rebirth experience, there has to be what?
Faith, isn't it? We studied this last year, you remember? Still?
Now, the natural situation in which we find ourselves is the Romans 7 situation. And when we realize, here's the law, which teaches us
what to do and what not to do, but we can't do it.
So, we are up and down. And finally, we come to the point
where we capitulate. We realize we cannot do it in our own strength.
So we come to Jesus and make a covenant with him in which we say, you are doing the work.
We cannot free ourselves from the sin master. You must do it.
That is
a covenant that the soul makes with God. And this was foreshadowed by the work of circumcision in the Old Testament. You're aware of this, aren't you? It's just a repetition now, okay?
Then, when we have made this covenant, actually the Lord can do this work, and the old, here's the covenant. And with all this goes faith. In other words,
in order to make such a covenant, we need faith. Without faith, we would not hand the problem over to God completely.
Then the next step of faith is to actually experience the
deliverance from the old sinful master, or from the old sin master, you say.
And then, after we have made this experience, we go
on a way with Jesus, but that does not mean that we are free from all sins, because we have had deliverance from the sin master. We know this. There are still problems in the human nature.
And how do we call this process that begins after our rebirth experience? That is the work of reformation. You can also say sanctification.
Sanctification is more general term,
and reformation is more the specific term that shows that we must deliver here from
wrong habits, from false concepts, and so forth.
Now, having or being on the work of reformation,
we understand very much, very well, that
we, by faith, receive deliverance from wrong concepts and wrong practices.
But not only faith plays a role, but also our own diligent efforts. And these diligent efforts are, we diligently restudy the Bible, restudy the messages that we learn on the camp meeting, we obey the principles that we have learned, and we take certain measures to make sure that the temptation is not in our way. In other words, we don't place ourselves in a place of temptation. We wouldn't like to move into a big city where we have sin before us all the time. We would rather move somewhere where we are out of temptation and we know it's a great temptation for us, and things like this.
In other words, in the work of reformation,
we cooperate with God.
Now, in the work of our rebirth experience, there was nothing we could do.
Everything the Lord had to do. The only thing we did was to make this covenant, or to agree to this covenant, and then by faith accept the gift of God.
But in the work of reformation, we have to cooperate with him.
And how this applies for the medical missionary work, we will see in our next study, as the time is over now.